Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Of course, Chiefs, Bucks tonight, right here, 96.5 The Fan. Pregame coverage begins at 4 o'clock. We were joking during the break with Drew. He got like a $50 free bet from one of the betting companies just randomly. You know, if you haven't bet with one of them for a while, sometimes they send you $50 is a good size free bet, by the way. And yeah. Drew was just messing around on his phone. It has to be an NBA bet, you were saying?
Well, it has to be a basketball bet. I figure NBA. There's every single team plays tonight. I was like, you know
what? Maybe the text line can help you build out your bet. Because Drew was messing around. He's like, what if I just took all the underdogs? Which obviously is not going to hit.
15 underdogs.
And how much was that going to pay?
The odds are, I'm not even going to give you the odds. It's too many numbers. $50 would give me $2.9 billion.
Okay. There's no way they're taking that. Billion. There's no way they're taking that bet even. Like, there's just no way.
But
that,
also, there's no way you can win it.
Correct. That's
just do it on a. Oh, it has to be NBA.
What if you do? By the way, what if you do the opposite? What if you take all favorites?
I don't know. But it says right here.
Only
bonus, 10 grand.
It says right here. I can put the bonus bet in, and I can hit. I can hit place bet. It's not like it's not.
Well, don't do it.
I mean, don't throw it away. $50 away.
Just do 50. Pick like 4 or 5 games you like tonight. 50 and see if you can't win like $800.
I'll tell you what. How about this? I'm not going to tell you guys who I pick. And if it happens, and I just happen to not show up for work tomorrow, then you know that I
$1.9 billion.
Then you know.
Yeah.
You've also, it'd actually be kind of big news. I know why, because like it'd be big news that, you know, like whatever, BetMGM just went bankrupt because Drew took all their money.
Like
the payment.
It's one thing to win $100,000 or whatever, but if you won $1 billion from them, they're in some trouble. They're in some trouble at that point.
I think that's what it would take, Cody. By the way, we've had our conversations of how much money would it take for you to quit.
$1 billion?
$1 billion? Sure. I'm out.
That's why I need legalized sports betting.
I'm gone.
You know, I need
tomorrow, man. Tomorrow could be the day. Amendment 2 in Missouri. You vote yes, that would legalize sports wagering, and then it would still take some time to get it up and running. But this is your best shot. I mean, I'm dead serious on this. Like, for those of you that have been on the fence for a while or whatever, if you're like, oh, well, they'll figure out a better option or a better plan. It's maybe not the perfect plan, the perfect tax rate or whatever it may be. That might be true. But the legislature hasn't been able to pass it. And I understand some of the individuals are not there anymore that were. There's always somebody else that's willing to block it. And it'll be pretty simple for them to say, well, look, the public said they don't want it. So if you think the legislature is just going to get it done in the spring, they're not. So this is your best shot. If it doesn't pass tomorrow, this is not like trying to like BS you. I think it could be 4 or 5 years if it doesn't pass. I'm serious. I think if it doesn't pass, it could be 4 or 5 years before you get it in Missouri, and it could end up being one of the last states to legalize. So this is your best shot, if this thing passes tomorrow, to have sports wagering in Missouri.
It's in every single bordering state.
Eight bordering states.
Must
all
we do
but
this?
One. Yeah, it's in eight bordering states. I think only one doesn't. Oklahoma, I believe, is the one that doesn't.
And a little updated, and that's probably just because of the, like, there's a few different rules.
Tribal why. Stuff, otherwise, uh-huh. Yep.
And a little bit of updated NFL news. According to Tom Pelissero, Christian McCaffrey will return to practice today.
Hallelujah.
They have opened up the practice window. Adam Schefter is saying he is tracking to play on Sunday versus the Bucks.
Thank you. Finally. Some of us kept you on their roster as a keeper. No, as a keeper from last year and used a first round pick as a keeper.
You have him in the guillotine league, Cody, right?
Yeah. Had him the entire year in guillotine. Him and Isaiah Pacheco. I've been staying alive with him and Isaiah Pacheco the entire year.
Bravo to you
guys. I actually put in a bid for Nico Collins, even though he's hurt, because I just figured, you know what, if this is my team, if they're the all-hurt team, that if they ever get healthy is good. And I lost the bid somehow. I bid like a pretty good amount. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey could return against the Bucks this Sunday.
Okay.
If he feels good this week.
All right. That's good.
He'll be starting in guillotine. I can promise you that.
Against a run defense.
He went
that
to Germany. Yeah, he went to Germany. Did some magic blood circulation surgery thing or whatever it was that we don't do here. And he's all right.
I'm going to say, we should be doing whatever these like platelet spinning things is they're doing.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, blood platelet. Is it spinning? I don't know. I don't know the exact medical terminology, but it was something with platelets and spinning or circulating.
Dude, in guillotine, I started Cole Komet in my flex this week. Like, I'm desperate for somebody.
Yeah, that's, well, you survived, right?
Yeah, I did.
You survived. You didn't get shot.
That's all that matters.
You don't get shot. That's all that matters. All right, we'll get to some college football and a disappointing weekend that was, and now the chances of us having a local school in the college football playoff just got a lot less likely. The Royals did make some exciting news yesterday, confirmed today, press conference today. Michael Wacha back on a 3-year deal. We talked already about that decision. We both love it. Makes a lot of sense. There's potential options it creates, though, for other players and for this organization the rest of the offseason, now that you know Michael Wacha is back. And right away, the name that everybody kind of draws their attention to is Brady Singer. What does this mean for him? Right now, he's the fourth starter for this baseball team. He's under contract.
That's a pretty good fourth starter.
Yeah. Oh, heck. By the way, if that's what ends up happening and he's the fourth starter, no problem with that whatsoever. That's a great spot to be in. But it does now allow you the option, if the right opportunity was there in a trade to help you where you need some offensive help at the leadoff spot, even if I agree with Vern, who are you kicking out kind of thing. But if there's an option to parlay or bundle Brady with somebody else to bring back a bat, I'm open to that as well, and now it's a trade that I could actually stomach. Whereas if you lost Wacha, well, then I would say, no, you need Brady Singer in the rotation for sure.
I guess the question I have when it comes to Brady is, why is everyone so quick to run him out of town?
Yeah, that's interesting,
like,
too.
That's a serious question, and I'd love an answer. You can call if you want. 913-586-7965. Hit us up on YouTube. Let me know in the chat. I don't care wherever. I am curious why it is everyone is so fast to run him out of town. Because the truth is, for the numbers he's put up last year, over the last 3 years, career, you do a lot worse at the number four starting spot. Way worse. Some of this is, I think, expectation versus what it was. Sometimes this is the first round pick conundrum, where you've turned yourself into a viable NFL player who contributes to a team, but because you're not Shohei Ohtani on the mound or Garrett Cole, you stink. And they don't want you here anymore. Brady Singer, for multiple years of cost control, is a good player to keep around your organization, especially considering the starting rotation is your strength. Do I think it opens up the door for talks for teams to call on Brady? Yeah. Do I think they should trade him? No. I
think there's a couple reasons why his name has come up among fans. One, he was also, let's not forget, he had been part of the losing. Like, not him, it's not his fault, but he was part of the losing teams for many, many years. That's all we kind of knew him, his role as. He was on teams that weren't winning. I think you're correct that the class that he was drafted in, the heavy pitcher class, he's the only one that's really made it. And so when there's only one of them,
him with all the other ones that didn't work.
Yep. And when he's the only one, you hope, you know, a lot of it is just based off of what you were hoping him to be. And yeah, it's the unfair spot that you're in, that none of, you know, only one of them panned out. And then you were hoping if he was going to be the one that he panned out to be, an ace, let's say. And he's obviously not an ace, but he's a very, very good big league pitcher that's going to be in this league for a long time. Going to make a ton of money whenever he gets the opportunity to actually be a free agent or get an extension here. And so that, I think, is part of it. Other people have said, hey, you know, his ties to Whit Merrifield and otherwise have rubbed some people the wrong way. I don't think that's his fault. But these, we ask for people's reasoning, and that's why. But the opportunity does present itself now. That you could explore that path. That's why I like Wacha coming back as well. It doesn't close the door on potentially if you needed a piece to be involved with bringing in a bat, he could be that.
I like the flexibility because we talk about Brady Singer all the time. What stops them from moving Bubich or Lynch?
Yeah. Well, I think Singer's worth more, but go ahead.
Yeah, but those guys have control.
Yeah.
Lots of control. Would be interested to other teams, right? Maybe, like you said, what they might be looking for in the outfield or leadoff spot might be more of a platoon player anyway. Maybe you don't need to sell the whole arsenal and you just need to move on from one player lower down on the order to do it. Like, look, people have said sometimes it's the attitude thing. He does seem like he's in a sour mood sometimes. But you know what? When people are winning, we just call it competitive. Like when it's Max Scherzer, you don't seem to care that he's acting. You know, like the way he acts on the mound. I think because he's had struggles against good teams sometimes as a result of that, it comes off as petulant or something, and or maybe that's the part of it that does it. And I think I see multiple people that are like, I'm not trying to run him out of town. This just feels like a sell high opportunity. Multiple years of control. He's coming off his second best season as a major leaguer. He's coming off career highs and strikeouts and innings and things that you would want to see if you were somebody else. Because the only other thing, because someone said from the 816, what about just Singer signing an extension?
Don't need to do that.
That's the only yeah. thing I just don't think they'll do. I just don't think you paid Waka. Maybe you pay Reagans down the road, although his price tag, good God, who knows what it could eventually escalate to. And you don't have to pay Reagans for a while. He is under control even longer than Singer. But it's like, yeah, I'm kind of stuck in the middle where I'm curious why people are so quick to run Singer out of town. I understand the idea of flirting with any trade. I think the Royals should be transactional because this offseason is going to be a hard one for that gold. As it sits right now, they could run out a starting rotation today. A five-man starting rotation, full bullpen, full of players who played mostly for them this year. Same with the lineup. They don't have to be transactional this offseason if they don't want to. They should. Sometimes you just got to shuffle things. You take a starter out, you put a different starter in who's already in your organization or a free agent, and then you put a different position player in or you move a different position player out. Sometimes shuffling the chairs helps. I know it's like, is it movement for movement's sake? A lot of times in baseball, it's not. You got to keep things fresh and different and challenging. Try to be different try to be good in a different way.
So Michael Waka back with the Royals on a new 3-year deal worth reportedly $51 million. There is a club option on the fourth year. That would be pretty stunning if it was exercised, but that could bring it all the way up to 71.
Be what, 36 then? How old is he? 32?
Michael Waka.
Let's see. 33
years old. Oh, he was born the same year I was. How about that?
So you should now forever know Michael Walker's age.
I don't know what his birth date was. July 1st, 91.
So yeah. He's a little younger.
He's like four or five months younger.
We're talking about him like he's about to die, and he's younger than you.
As you know, in baseball world, much different, much different.
How's it work in radio? When are you old in radio?
I think it's all... age doesn't matter as long as you stay relevant and up to... like. Oh, not to get too down the rabbit hole. Dan Patrick, great example of this. Older guy, right? But he's very good with staying up, staying hip, if you will. Dan Patrick, he's thrived at that. It's a big strength of his. He stayed young. He doesn't feel that old, but he is older. He's like the oldest. He's older than some of the other national hosts in the country. So that would be my answer. As long as you aren't out of touch and you're not keeping up with the trends.
You're not just like analytics are stupid mm-hmm. and you just decided mm-hmm. to do it. Dan Patrick is 67 years
yeah.
old.
And he doesn't feel 67 when you listen to his show.
I haven't listened to his show in a while.
Well, fair enough.
But... I do like Dan.
You're killing my point, but yeah.
This is not a yes. knock on him. I don't listen to. I listen to very few national shows.
Yeah,
it's not.
We've had Dan Patrick on this show before.
I actually think live local radio is what you should listen to.
100%. I agree.
In terms of radio, it feels like the window's like narrow. Like I'm almost 30, and whenever I tell people, my age, like, oh yeah, you young. Like the window is.
Yeah.
To be almost tight. 30 again. Damn. Those were the days.
So. Someone says, how old was Fesco 10 years ago?
My age. Pretty much.
37 or 38 10 years ago? Yeah, something like that.
Is he? Does that mean Fesco's old?
Is that what somebody's trying to say?
Or is that when Fesco was old?
I don't know. If someone just says, how old was Fesco 10 years ago?
I think a lot of it is also, I think you're right. I think some of it's energy-based. You can't be bringing a bunch of old man takes
yeah.
to the air, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're talking cinnamon bacon on this show. We're up to the trends.
That's right.
We're up to date. Who's the most recent person you had to look up? You're like, I don't know who that is. And it made you feel old. Mine was Troy Sivan. I was like, I don't know who that was. And somebody mentioned
No, mine was somebody.
I guess I'm going to have to look up that person because I'm not sure who that is.
Mine was last week. There's somebody that I guess is famous on TikTok. And every once in a while I'll check TikTok, but I don't really actively. I have a TikTok account, but I don't use it.
So
and
who
I
was
don't.
It?
This kid that's like the Riddler,
the Rizzler, this kid from the Yankees.
Yeah.
Boom. That kid.
Yeah.
He's
like 7 or 8 years old and he's like very popular on TikTok. Yeah. That's when I felt old. I was like, who the hell is this kid?
You could feel way worse. 3 weeks ago, Speck didn't even know who Chapel Roan was. So it could be way worse.
Yeah. But no, I didn't
know. Speck's younger than me, right?
What was this kid? You said the Rizzler? I didn't know who the Rizzler was, and he's a 7-year-old kid that's TikTok famous, I guess. And I was like, and what is he famous for? Just like this weird like eyebrow thing?
Well, he does. They do this like Yankee stuff. He does like some thing man on the street stuff. Don't you remember when Vinny told us he was up in the a suite in a Jets game, and the kids could not care that Vinny was a professional Major League Baseball player in the thing. They were blown away by Kugler, this guy who does like food reviews based out of New York. Huge YouTube 100%. And TikTok guy, and they were all over it. Dude, my kid's my kid's favorite person, if he could just meet anyone, Desmond, he's six. Uh-huh. His favorite, like, if I say, hey, you meet anybody, he would not choose Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce. He would choose, like, Justin and Adam from Lanky Box or whatever. Dude, it's just like...
Who?
That it does, you should know that. That's for kids. You really should
Lanky
know that.
Box?
So
They do the donuts. I don't know, dude. I only know about this because of my kids.
Kids, okay, yeah.
Those YouTube people are, like, getting commercials now. Like, that's how... Yeah. Like Kai Cenat, for example, has the McDonald's. Yeah, like,
I do know who that is. I do know who that is. Yeah.
Okay. You had to look up, like, SNL just did a whole skit on influencers, and it was like this big deal because it's like crossed a cultural norm.
Yeah.
Not a movie star, not a TV star, just YouTube and TikTok and whatever. There's a couple times I'm like, hey, I better know who the hell is this. I'm going to look stupid.
They have streamers playing in the NBA All-Star game, the celebrity game.
I do remember that from last year.
And I had to look up some.
There are some people who I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
That's all. Sorry to get us sidetracked. I thought it was...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about college football because heading into the season, we were excited. All three had a great chance, I think, to get in to the college football playoff. Expanded field, big year for all three locals. Biggest fall we were all talking about. We know Kansas was disappointing right away. We know Missouri, due to some injury and poor performances, I think they're done with their blowout loss to both Alabama and Texas A&M. Then you're like, okay, still got K-State. They just beat Kansas in a close one. They're on the path to still get in that thing.
Just keep winning and you'll be in the Big 12
they
title.
They lose to Houston over the weekend. A bad, bad loss. Their schedule still has Iowa State on it. They'll get that head-to-head. BYU is undefeated, and now K-State needs help. K-State needs help to get in the Big 12 title game for starters. And then I think it's a one-bid league. Unless you think BYU somehow is going to get in as a one loss, they lose in the Big 12 title game. So I think K-State, the chance of them getting in is down to like 20%, 25%. They have to win out, need help to get in, and then they would have to beat BYU, let's say, who they lost to earlier, to get in. I don't think there's an at-large bid there anymore for Kansas State. They have to win the Big 12, and that's why that was a huge loss.
Three bites at the apple. Kansas just, I mean, pooped the bed from day one. I mean, just right out of the gate. Through any hopes they had it like a bowl game in the early part of the season away. I guess maybe they still do one out. They'd still be in a bowl.
Technically have a shot still, yes.
Still technically have to run the table.
Run the table.
Starting this weekend against Iowa State, I think.
Missouri had quarterback issues and injury issues, but in their two biggest games, they got beat. I think it combined like 130-0. I mean, I don't know, man. It was bad. That is not hyperbolic enough. They got beat bad.
75-10, I think.
And their two biggest games. Yeah, and then all K-State had to do was beat Houston. And I'll be honest, I watched a lot of Houston football this year, but I did see Houston lose to Kansas by multiple touchdowns in what was not a close game. When I, on this show, questioned you, Alex, you're like, well, they're going to beat Houston. I'm like, relax there, man. You sure that they're just, you seem awfully confident for a team that only had a couple of wins.
They did beat Houston.
And they beat them comfortably, which told me a lot about Houston. And then Kansas lost to them. I don't care about the weather, man.
Kansas State,
Kansas State, sorry. Kansas State lost to them. I don't care about the weather.
K-State was a 13-point favorite. It wasn't as big of a favorite as you would have thought, but still it's a terrible loss. I understand the weather wasn't great. Both teams were playing in the rain.
You can't use that as an excuse. That's like the saddest.
Yeah. That is a devastating loss because, now you need help. I think K-State could win out. But they need help in addition to that. Like I think they could win out. They could beat Iowa State. Just lost to Texas Tech. That's the saving grace for them. And suddenly Colorado's
in
the picture. I think if Colorado wins out and Iowa State drops one, Colorado gets in the Big 12 title game, right? Yep. And they would play BYU, who's pretty much, I don't know, they could lose multiple games, but they're probably a lock to get in the Big 12 title game unless they fall apart out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It would be pretty stunning if BYU started to lose games. Yeah. They're undefeated.
I'm curious where they're in the college football poll. They've always been way down in the AP.
Well, the AP.
Undefeated, and they're ninth.
That yeah, the AP poll doesn't matter, though. You know that.
No,
tomorrow
I know, but
night,
I'm saying I think they're rated too low.
Let's see what the college football playoff ranking
still
is tomorrow night.
I bet you they're still around there.
I think they should be more like fifth or sixth. Their schedule's pretty good. They've got plenty of quality wins. They're undefeated in a major conference. Where the hell are they ninth?
Same thing with Indiana being eighth, I think, right now in the AP poll.
Indiana's legit.
Their head coach is freaking awesome.
It's impressive how they're not just winning, they're destroying teams. It is impressive.
They've won every
what
game
Indiana has done.
Did you? I guess you probably didn't, but Kurt Cignetti, the head coach, in his opening presser said, I win. Google me.
Oh, yeah, we have the like, audio in the system somewhere. Yeah.
I actually thought that was kind of a joke when that guy said that. His team's pretty good.
He's backing it up. Google me, man. I'm undefeated. Yeah, that was awesome audio, and he's backed it up. That's the thing. If you're going to say stuff like that, you better back it up. But oh, here it is, yeah.
How do you sell your vision of your culture? I mean, what's the...
Who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you...
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
So badass. So badass. He said that before the season started or whatever it was, right? And when he got hired, I guess
he was dang good at JMU. I mean, he brought them up to
Google me.
He brought them up to FBS level and went undefeated or almost undefeated in his first season in college.
I'm Alex Gould. Google me. Imagine if you. Talk. I'd actually ridicule you.
Well, I would hope. I would hope you would.
If I heard you say that in public to somebody,
this guy's backed it up though, man. This guy is backed.
Their offense is legit for sure.
People keep pointing out the K-State tiebreaker over Colorado. We all agree, right, that doesn't apply unless the conference records are the same. So Colorado still just had to lose, right? Because they only have one conference loss.
Colorado cannot afford to lose, yes, in order to make it. If they lose, then K-State has that tiebreaker.
By the way, if Deion Sanders and Colorado mm-hmm. get to the Big 12 title mm-hmm. game, he can get an even bigger job in Colorado if he wants it.
Mm-hmm. That would be what his son and everybody's leaving, so... That was, I think Travis Hunter is gone. Shadur Sanders is gone after this year.
I think Travis was asked about that, and he said he's home. However, to your point, Cody, if he takes him to the playoff for whatever reason, he can have any job in the country that he wants to at that point, essentially.
I mean, that was the worst, other than Kansas.
That would be available.
Over the last decade, Colorado has been one of the five worst Power 5 programs in all of college football. If he gets him to a Big 12 title game in 2 years,
yeah,
be deserving of a conversation around a job like that.
Yeah, the exact, by the way, for people still asking about this tiebreaker thing. Here's the Big 12. They announced their new tiebreaker format. If two teams are tied in conference standings, the following is used in this order. A, the team's head-to-head record.
If they're tied in conference
standings. If they're tied in the conference standings, then the tied teams will be compared based on win percentage against all common opponents, and it keeps going all the way down.
That's the difference, whereas the conference record is Colorado just has the one loss, K-State has the two losses. So even if they've both finished 10-2, it doesn't matter.
That's the setup for it, man.
It's just the you know, I guess
that's why the loss sucked.
You can almost call it just pure missed opportunities. Like Kansas missed opportunities. They've been leading in every single game. K-State missed opportunity. They got outscored by 14 points in the fourth quarter. Missouri haven't been able to stay healthy, but it's missed opportunities because the schedule was weak.
Coming up next, we will get to what's trending and then talk a little bit more about tonight's Monday Night Football game that you'll hear right here on 96.5 The Fan. Our game predictions and what it could mean for the rest of this season and tomorrow's trade deadline next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, obviously, number one is the fact we got a football game tonight. Monday Night Football at Arrowhead, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Pre-game coverage starts at 4. Chiefs, 9.5-point favorites against the Bucks, trying to stay undefeated, get to 8-0 before taking on the Broncos next week or later this week, I guess, in week 10 at that point of the season. The Bucks banged up heading into this one at the wide receiver spot, as we know. No Godwin, no Evans. For Kansas City, there will be no Juju Smith-Schuster. There will be no Najee Johnson. And they will try to get D-Hop going some more tonight.
Next up on What's Trending, local college basketball in general, kicks off tonight. Kansas will take on Howard at 7. K-State versus New Orleans is tomorrow. MU and Memphis at 7 tonight. UMKC will start their season as well. Remember,
Hannibal LaGrange.
Number one preseason
game. You should go dressed as Hannibal to the UMKC game
tonight. I'll be on campus.
Dressed as Hannibal.
My class goes later than tip-off. You think I still get a good ticket to that game tonight?
Something tells me you can sit wherever you want, man.
I don't think they don't even need a ticket.
I think you can sit right behind the bench. They might even let you sit at the scorer's table.
And as a professor, I feel like you should be able to just walk in there and be like, hey, I'm a professor.
Excuse me.
Your ID, you're good to go.
I teach one class here. Excuse me.
In fairness, they never gave me an ID.
What?
I need that?
Did they actually give you a background check or not?
I think so.
You don't have anything that you like scan into the...
No. How do you get in? You just... I guess we shouldn't talk. You just walk right in?
To my classroom? They gave me a key.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just... They gave me a key to the room.
The one you set the alarm off on?
Uh-huh.
And then ran away?
They gave me another key to a different room, so they gave me two keys.
A different room?
Well,
an equipment room?
That key might work to the rec,
like,
too.
It's like a room where they do their television.
Have you talked to any of the other professors? Board. Have you had any conversations with one other professor at
all? One other? His name was Steve Kraske. I spoke to him for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm talking like, you knew him before. I'm talking about like...
Joshua Jackson. I spoke to him.
Okay.
Former TV guy around here. He's there. Okay. But he also, like, I had to talk to him. It was like a meeting I was in. So.
Oh, I had to talk to him.
Well, I didn't, like,
damn.
I didn't, like, go out of my way to be like, yo, what's up? We've talked a couple times, you know? I haven't gone to any of the mixers yet. Should I go to, like, some of these, like, employee mixers? They'll have, like, little, like, hey, we're going to have, like, treats
middle
and snacks.
School, junior high?
I think they want us to know each other. Someone says, who holds class on opening night at college basketball? I only have class one day a week.
The students want to get to the Ruse game, man. And there's Chiefs football on tonight, and you're holding class.
In fairness, I'm sure that KU had classes. Like, I had classes before, like, the same night as a college basketball. However, if it was later at night, and there's a lot of people who are...
Oh, at KU, when there was a basketball game, if I had an evening class...
You're not going.
Usually the professor would know, and they would let us out, like, an hour or so early to make sure we get to the game.
They're aware.
Someone says they don't give out passes to temporary professors. You're out after this year.
No, aren't you...
They
aren't
already invited me back for next semester, jerk!
Nice.
Yeah, you're back for the spring semester.
As long as enough kids enroll, I'll be a two-semester teacher.
This all sounds fake and made up. Imaginary podcast class.
We need to go in and find your Rate My Professor in a January.
I don't think I have a Rate My Professor.
I told you all I ask
as soon as it's done.
End of the semester.
One or two voluntary students.
One or two students to come in studio, get a little radio experience, and I want them to give... The grades will already be submitted, and I just want their honest opinion on what their first opinion of you was right when you walked... Where it was when you walked in. And just how the class went.
Like,
be honest. Was there a moment where you thought, what the hell is this guy talking about? What is he doing? He made a joke. It wasn't funny. You know, was it something like that?
Don't ask those. There's like, I cuss maybe too much in the class sometimes. So I got to be careful there. There's a couple kids who judge me for that. Moving on.
Yeah, where were we?
Bobby
How about
Witt.
Award winners? Bobby Witt Jr., Seth Lugo, both winning Gold Glove Awards yesterday. Also, Bobby and Salvi, finalists for the Silver Slugger Award. It's that time of the offseason for baseball where they tell us who won these awards for a season that ended a long time ago.
I mean, they're deserving of it. I'm glad that they got a couple of things, but yeah, I don't understand why they wait so long to do their awards. Next up on What's Trending, NFL news. Christian McCaffrey returning to practice this week. CeeDee Lamb has a sprained AC joint. They're saying there's still a chance he could play this Sunday against the Eagles despite that. But Dak Prescott, his quarterback, is out several weeks, due to hamstring injury. He's still waiting on some further testing and a second opinion on proper precaution moving forward.
Lastly, this one for those of you in Lee Summit, going to be excited. I'm sure Dusty's fired up. Downtown Lee Summit expected to turn into a Merry Swiftmas Wonderland as fans prepare to celebrate Taylor Swift's birthday amid the holiday season.
Are you going to be there?
I will not. They said between 5 and 9 p.m. on Friday, December 13th, Downtown Lee Summit will transform into the ultimate fan experience. One of the most anticipated events of the season.
I think I already have something on December 13th.
Pop-up bars are expected to pour Look What You Made Me Brew coffee, Meet Me at Midnight martinis, Forever Winter hot spice cider, some of the drinks.
Is everyone else's schedule looking as bleak as mine the rest of the year? I already have something on December 13th.
Busy. Yeah.
I already have something on December 13th.
And that is? Friday the 13th.
This is how
you got your kids' activities and everything in there. Yeah.
It's everything. It's work, school, whatever. December 13th. Already busy. Sorry. Can't go.
No, it's not. It'll get busier. We're in the holidays. Like I said, got the wedding coming up to go to. Got the movie premiere for Hallmark Christmas movie at the end of the month. There's going to be so much media, I'm sure, to do that week. You know? Yeah. And then Thanksgiving right before that. Yeah. That's what's trending, by the way.
You're gonna have to give us an update in like December at all if you get a call, like not necessarily like a call back, but a call is in. Hey, we saw you in the Hallmark movie, and we like how you briskly walked.
Yeah, we like your walk.
We like you to come in for a trial.
Fake conversation as you were walking down the street holding a shopping bag.
Alex
does an audition. You either give him the role, or he's not there.
That's right.
Not auditioning for your movie. Right. You know,
it was like a long, grueling process to select me last time. You know, I submitted a photo of myself, and they said, "There you go, you're our guy."
They said, "Sure."
That's what it was.
You're in, man.
That's what it was. Yeah, no, that's coming up. We were actually talking before the show about trying to figure out if we're going to do any watch party thing. The problem is it's Thanksgiving weekend. That's the only hang up, I think, for trying to do something as a show or station. But it is November 30th on Hallmark.
So if we do something, we will let you know. We'd like to maybe get out in the public so
someone
we can see
says if you didn't spend so much time in Vegas, you'd have some more free time.
My third time in Vegas this year. Fourth for you. I don't have any other planned trips to Las Vegas.
As of right now, there is not a future scheduled trip at all. Do you
keep a calendar for yourself? It's just you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's just through iPhone, just a pretty standard calendar / reminder. Like, some of it is events. Some of it I still use as a reminder. I don't use the reminder app. I just put it all into the calendar with alerts.
I use reminders all the time.
Like, tomorrow I'm doing a radio hit in Buffalo. Like, I'll put a reminder in the calendar of that because that's that way I expect, oh yeah, they're calling me at 3.
I do reminders for that. Calendars for, I don't know, more firm things.
I think you have kids, you got to have way more of that. Like, I keep a calendar, but it's not nearly the same as if I had kids and dealing with their activities and trying to organize that stuff, you know?
It's impossible. There's not enough time in a day, man.
No. What do you see tonight looking like? Let's get to some of our predictions for the game.
Our predictions are, of course, brought to you by Volkswagen Lee Summit, where you could get a 0% APR deal for the next 60 months on any new car. Look, the truth is, I think that I don't know why it is, because I told you I'd been kind of wavering the last couple weeks. I'm really confident about this game. I'm kind of feeling blowout. I don't know why. My official prediction, I think, on our social media channel was like 28-13. I think it might be like 28-10, 30-10. I think that this is a really good matchup for Kansas City, especially considering the fact that they're down other weapons. The strength of their offense is in the play-action run game. Kansas City's done excellent in that. I think with teams like the Bucks, they often hit this bump in the road when they have suffered the amount of injuries they have, where they have to kind of like reset, come back down to earth, and then try to figure out a new way to win under Todd Bowles. I kind of feel like this is going to be that game for them. The only thing that throws me off is Baker's a pretty good big game quarterback. He likes to show up in some pretty big moments, I'll give him. So there's a chance he balls out. That's my only fear, is that they figure out a way to pass on an injured secondary. But for the most part, incredibly confident, way more than I probably should be.
Yeah, if he goes and has a good game, but who's he throwing to? I mean, Kate Otten will get his. I like the over for Kate Otten receiving tonight, 53.5 yards. That's been an issue, we know, going up against tight ends, but it hasn't really had an impact on any results. Let them get their yardage. That's cool. But he's throwing to, you know, Trey Palmer and McMillan, you know,
Sterling Shepard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just at some point there's limitation. I think as long as the Chiefs defense holds up like they have all year against the run and they limit Bucky Irving, who's capable of having a big play or two, if they do that, I'm not worried about Rashad White. I know he's the local ties, which is a cool story and everything. Very cool. But I think the Chiefs will hold them in check. I trust this defense. I think we all do. How can you not? At this point, the official score I gave on our Instagram channel and everything was 26-18.
That's a weird score.
I felt like I was going to keep saying the same score over. So I went 26-18 instead of 27-20, which was last week's score, which I feel like is what it's going to be again. So I said, let's go 26-18. It has happened 10 times. It happened in the Monday Night Football game this past week with the Giants and Steelers. So it's not as uncommon as you think. It's happened 10 times. Weird game, you know, some field goals, maybe a 2-point conversion late because the Bucks are chasing the Chiefs a little bit. That's kind of how I see it playing out. I think Kareem Hunt will go and have success running again because this Bucks yards per carry defense is his worst in the league. That's kind of where I'm at on this. So, 26-18, Kansas City does not cover, but they get the win.
Drew, what do you got?
I do think the Chiefs cover. I think it's going to be, I said 28-17. I think it's another one of those where maybe they get a garbage touchdown. The Buccaneers do. It's comfortable. The defense does a really nice job of limiting what Baker is able to do. they might score a touchdown on the first drive and then not score again. I don't know. Or is it score another one again? I mean, that is the theme basically for the Chiefs defense, where they give up the one and then they don't allow another.
I mean, the Monday Night Football game they had earlier this year, Saints, it was 26-13. And it could have been, they could have been in the 30s. Juju had the one pass batted up and it led to a Colin Saunders interception. That was the only time this year where it felt like they were in complete control. The Niners game ended up being a 10-point win, but there were still some dicey moments. I think this could be kind of a smooth, stress-free night. We'll see. Someone was asking about the weather. Does that impact? I think you lean on the run a little bit more, but it's not going to be super windy. So that's usually what impacts the passing game more than just rain. And by the time it gets to kickoff, it's supposed to, as of now, at least the hour by hour, it's supposed to kind of stop. Once they get in the game, it's more pregame. Could it delay the start of the game and things like that? The fun thing from a betting angle that someone just asked on the text line, you and I saw during the break, the most popular game special bet tonight is a long shot bet on, it sounds easy when you just say it out loud, Kareem Hunt and Bucky Irving, the two running backs tonight, to each have 10 yards rushing in each quarter. Okay? Sounds simple.
Than it is in execution.
Exactly. It's not that simple. And the reason why people are betting it is because it's like 100-1 or something tonight. So, yes, you could bet $10 to win $1,000. Bucky Irving and Kareem Hunt to each record 10 rushing yards in each quarter.
The Bucky Irving one's the way harder part of that.
Yes.
What's the leading rusher gotten on Kansas City this year? 50 yards total?
Yeah, it's tough.
So you need Bucky Irving to just get that like in equal doses.
Yeah, it is. It is really, really tough to see that happening. But I get why someone would take a $5 flyer to win $500 on, but that's the thing. Kareem Hunt could have 80, 90 yards rushing tonight, but does he just get 40 yards in the third quarter and didn't get any, only had 8 yards in the fourth or something? That's the challenge here. 913-586-7965. Someone did ask, pop quiz, can any of you name the Bucks receiver that once said he was faster than Tyreek Hill? Wasn't that Scotty Miller?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think that was Scotty Miller. Anyway,
that was back when Tom Brady was quarterback, I think that came out.
My final answer is Scotty Miller.
I refuse to believe that was a serious statement at the time.
But I think that's the player. You can let me know on whoever texts that in.
If you're wrong or not. Yeah. By the way, one other thing to look forward to the game tonight, NFL on ESPN, they are asking for any Andy Reid lookalike to show up to section 103-104 at 6 o'clock tonight. Because the NFL, they want the countdown crew to decide who the best fake Andy Reid is.
I think
so. Very important. 6 o'clock tonight, ESPN is making a formal decision.
There's one. Who is the best fake
Andy Reid?
There is definitely one. There's some of you that, hey, good effort, good try. Maybe you're a little skinnier. Maybe you got your face just doesn't have the same shape to it. There's one individual
you don't quite have
that
the voice
is,
nailed
that
down.
Has come to our events before as well. That to me is the best fake Andy Reid. And that I hope that individual goes to the game tonight.
We had him give some strategy at the Super Bowl in Vegas.
That's right. That's right. That's
your fake Andy Reid. You ride or die with one fake Andy Reid.
That's who should win. And I don't know his actual name. I think it's Matt, but I could be wrong. That is who should win this. Hopefully he's going to the game tonight, and hopefully he knows about this. I'm sure.
Maybe it was a new contender. Maybe it's just a guy who people always told him he looked like it, or he grows a great gray mustache.
The only way he loses is if some kid shows up, maybe a younger kid, it's a little chunkier, but they make the kid look, that might win. That could win just because, it's a kid that's doing it. Otherwise, this other guy
kid
should win.
Kid or baby is going to be tough to beat.
But if someone brings a baby that's got a little baby fat, dressed up as Andy Reid, that kid could win
with
this.
Like a fake mustache?
Yeah. Well, obviously be a fake mustache. Yes.
I mean, there are genetic disorders that could cause a kid to be hairier.
I would be surprised, though, if the five-year-old had a full mustache. That's all I'm saying. That I haven't seen.
When could you start growing a mustache,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
You had a pretty thick beard. I'm guessing your beard started coming in early.
Yeah, but no, there was not junior high or anything. There was a kid at junior high was like had a shave multiple times.
Dude, the kid who used to buy his beer in high school, he was like balding and had a full beard.
Hang on.
Yeah. That guy.
Those kids were not actually their age.
I didn't have.
There's no way.
The kid in my school? He was 16. He wasn't making it up.
If you're,
Some people bald early, dude.
Yeah, there was a kid in our junior high. He was in junior high and he was balding and already was shaving all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in junior high. Now, I don't think, you said my beard is thick now.
They're not trying to sign a baseball contract out of the Dominican Republic, dude. They're not like making it up for major league baseball teams.
Oh, you're talking about
middle schoolers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was out of
The way that I was referencing is that person might not have been 16.
Yeah.
What do you think? I went to school with some random high schooler who's making it up. I don't think that kid made it up. I think that's just. That was his look, and which meant they didn't ask any questions at the liquor store.
No.
Oh, of course not.
That was until I had a fake. You had a fake ID in college.
In college.
I never have had a fake ID, which is... Yeah.
Really?
I think now you got to get them overseas, I think, and stuff, people are saying. Because you got to off the scan and everything. It's a little bit different. There's more security features on the IDs. It was a little bit easier back in the day to fake them.
Mm.
So I'm told.
They put them in like a machine or something now?
I think they did a machine back then, too. They were made by a machine back then as well.
Friends had fake IDs.
Scannable. Yeah.
Mine weren't, you know.
It was the good old state of Texas.
Was it Alex Gold? Was that your name on it?
No, hell no.
I didn't know. You can put your real name?
No.
What do you remember what it was?
Wait, did I? Actually, you know what? No, I did have my real name on it.
The
because
good ones
case,
had your real name.
Yeah, had the real name, had the real photo on it. It was intact. Denton, Texas was the city and state.
Oh,
Denton.
It's where North Texas
No accent?
It's a Dallas suburb.
You didn't have an accent, even though you were from Denton?
A drawl?
No.
Oh.
No.
Seems a little...
Told you, only place I ever had an issue was Ames, Iowa.
I feel like
that college town was the only place that gave me a little bit of a problem with it.
Ames?
Ames, Iowa. Like, Halloween in Ames, Iowa.
Ames.
The guy almost took it. Almost took it.
He said toddlers?
Yeah. I didn't think Iowa stopped anyone from drinking. I just thought
Ames,
it was like
Iowa. That was
served at table.
Bar, one of the bouncers. Yeah.
Somebody from the text line brings up a good point. They're going to determine the winner of the Andy Reid thing by saying whoever can say Bundle-Rooski the best, Rooski. Like Andy Reid.
Bundle-Rooski?
That commercial, man. Mm-hmm.
You like that one. You brought that up. This is the third time you brought that up in the last couple of shows. You like that commercial, don't you?
I don't
Andy's
like it.
Andy's pretty good
in those. Andy's very good in the commercials, but I don't...
I didn't know if that was just something that you know you would pay for.
Pay for that pleasure?
Not that.
No.
It's your turn, Gold, to say pleasure now in an awkward scenario. You're up next.
Someone says, Alex McLovin. Now that was. Hope everybody has a good rest of the day. Stay safe out there. Seriously, if you're going to the game tonight, I know there's supposed to be some thunderstorms during tailgating, so be safe this afternoon, early evening. We're back at it tomorrow talking about hopefully a team getting to 8-0 on the season. It'll also be trade deadline Tuesday, so a lot coming your way. But for now, we hand things off to CDOT and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.